Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by the man. If friendship were a sport, he would get the gold medal at the Olympics. It's my good friend Kelly. Kelly, how are you doing?
What an intro. Wow. I am okay, though I will say, you know how, like, previous years were white boy summer.
Sure.
This year is diverticulitis summer. I got it. Thankfully, after a week of antibiotics, I think I'm all right. Caught it early enough. Same cannot be said for my mom, whose colon exploded, so she's in the hospital. So I haven't been watching as much as I could have. So there'll be times when Taylor might throw to me, and I'll be like, I haven't seen that, or shows I haven't seen, because it's been. It's been a couple. It's been 2 weeks. It's been a month every day.
Kelly, I didn't realize you got it.
Yeah,
you told me your mother got it, but I don't think you told me you had it.
So the last time we recorded, actually, I was dealing with like a pain in my abdomen, and I was like, I must have just like pulled a muscle or something, and then I was shitting weird. And then I talked to a friend of the show, and John, and I was like, hey, you had diverticulitis. Here's my symptoms. What do you think? And they were like, talk to your doctor immediately. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I talked to my doctor, and they're like, well, we don't have time to do a CT, because they like just squeezed me in. And they're like, so... it might be it. It might just be a stomach bug. We don't know for sure. I'm going to put you on antibiotics to see what's happening, and hopefully it'll clear it up. And it turned out, I was like, hey, doc, I got a retroactive family history now that I was not aware of. Because it turns out my mom's had it for months, probably, and she just thought it was her IBS until her insides exploded.
Well, wow. You're now bonded to Kenny Omega.
Yep.
Forever in a
yeah.
Also other people who I won't mention.
Me, Kenny, and my mom, we're gonna run King of Trios.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing better.
Yep.
And hopefully your mother will be better soon.
Yep. She thinks she's coming home tomorrow, but this is the woman that got tired and fell asleep after eating a cup of Jello earlier today. So I don't know about that.
Well, we wanted to update everyone just in case, as Kelly says. Some of this may just be my opinions, But don't anybody get online and start shit talking Kelly, because I'll give you the what for.
Yeah, Taylor will get the gold medal in the Friendship Olympics then.
Yeah. But anyway, before we start, we've got the plugs, of course. Follow us on Twitter/X at JBomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly if you want to send him your well wishes. You can do so there.
It would be very appreciated. Thank you, everyone, ahead of time.
And if you want to follow me, I'm at Tay Mainbow. If you want to send me curses and various bad luck, I guess. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. Okay, so let's get right into it. We've got some stardom to talk about. We've got Marigold. We've got Tokyo Joshi. Whole lot of things going on here. We will start with stardom here. Two shows. Sapporo Wonder Rendezvous and Sapporo World Rendezvous from the 27th and 28th of July at the, here we go, Chadaraz Gato Kingdom Sapporo. Have no idea if I said that correctly.
What a name. Is it supposed to be like Frenchy?
I don't know, but I was about to say it sounds like a venue at the current Paris Olympics.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything about the building. I only knew they were in Sapporo. Obviously, it's in the name of the show titles. But yeah, maybe someone out there knows about Chadaraz Gato Kingdom Sapporo. These were two shows that, in my opinion, the overview should have been one show. And I thought, with the exclusion of maybe one or two matches, were house shows.
Yeah. Like I said, I didn't watch all of it. I pretty much just combined it into one show from what I did watch. And that show was pretty solid, but just looking at these cards, like this is mostly house show stuff.
So let's kick it off with Stardom Sapporo Wonder Rendezvous from July 27th in front of 701 fans. There was a pre-show tag team match. The God's Eye duo of Hina and Lady C defeated Rion and Xena in 8 minutes and 28 seconds. Didn't see it.
Nope.
The next match was a singles match. Mayu Iwatani defeating Hanako, who this show and the next show were her farewell matches before she gets sucked into the world, the great world that never stops of MLW. And also, I think she's working New Japan Strong. What do they call them now? I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't remember. Do you think she's going to join the World Titan Federation?
I don't know.
Or will she join Contra Unit?
Yeah, I'm sure her and Suzuki, Minoru yep. Suzuki. That's one of the only things I know about MLW is that Minoru Suzuki is in Contra. Oh, and also I watched the clip of Selena De La Renta's baby daddy reveal, which turned out to be some random guy no one had ever seen, which was great. Anyway, one of Hanako's last matches here before she goes on that excursion, losing to Mayu Iwatani. I thought this was a fun match. As always, sort of no duh point. Mayu does the little things very well. That's what I thought of during this match. Other than that, I thought it was fine. After this match, there were two announcements. The first was that AEW Superstar Anna Jay will be in the 5-star Grand Prix in the Blue Stars A block. A reveal that got no reaction. And saying it got no reaction might actually be giving it too much credit. I would say if Kelly and I went silent for 5 seconds on this podcast, that would be probably a more of a reaction than what happened in the building. Absolutely no reaction. Also announced was that Risa Sarah will be in the Blue Stars B block to slightly more reaction.
Okay, that's good.
And a J announcement. There are some other changes coming, but we will talk about those shortly. In the preview for the 5-star Grand Prix coming up, the next match, another singles match, Saki Kashima defeating Aya Sakura in 26 seconds.
Wow.
The match started and I wrote, hey, why is this match happening? And I believe by the time I was done typing that sentence, the match had ended. and my only other note was, what is this, Sakura Hirota? Thank you.
Are they like trying to remind people that Saki is like the roll-up queen?
Yes, that was the whole point of this, was that Aya came out, started throwing some punches, Saki rolled her up, and it's one of those things where it's like, haha, she has that little roll-up she does that she can beat anyone in the 5-star. I actually thought it was quite funny, and it was only 26 seconds long, so I wasn't opposed to it.
Yeah.
Better than like 11 minutes, I'll say that. So, yeah, how much more is there to say about a 26-second match?
I mean, you talked longer than the match itself already. So
correct. The next match was the 5-star Grand Prix block. Well, the cage match says block C.
So would that be B block one or whatever?
That would be, what block is that?
Probably
now
blue?
I don't even remember. I've gotten
blue one.
No, this was for Red Stars A.
Okay.
The Red Stars A block. Qualifying final match, Yuna Mizumori defeating Waka Tsukiyama to qualify in 9 minutes and 30 seconds. Kelly, what'd you think of this match?
Mostly I'm happy to see Yuna get into the tournament. Like, that's super cool. I, you know, I've been following her since she was in Choco Pro and stuff. So it is cool to get to see her kind of move up the card a little bit. I mean, she's gonna lose a whole bunch in that tournament, probably every match, but it's still cool to get to see her in there. I thought the bones of the match were all right, but there was a bunch of stuff in here that just didn't look very good. So it was whatever. I went 2¾ stars on it.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice little match. Happy for Yuna to get in the 5-star. That should be fun. I thought there was some interesting offense here from Waka. Now it's been long enough that I don't quite remember what I was talking about, because my note says Waka, maybe Kelly, maybe you will recall. I wrote Waka's swinging rope something or other.
Nah, I got nothing.
What does that mean? I don't remember. Anyway, I thought there were a couple moments of interesting offense, I think mostly from Waka, who I also like. I think if she had won, I would have been like, oh, great, but also happy to see Yuna in. So this was sort of a win-win for me, personally. But a nice little match they had.
Mm-hmm.
The next match, another singles match, Tom Nakano defeating Sayaka Carrara in 11 minutes and 44 seconds. I thought this was a nice showing for Carrara here. You know, an extended squash. I thought the match itself was fine, but I thought she did well. That was really my takeaway from the match. And I think that was sort of the point of the match, is to get her out there, get her in a singles match, and get her time in, and I thought it went well. So, yeah, that's that. Before the next match, it was revealed, the new unit name was revealed, and that would be Neo Genesis. I believe those are two Sony video game systems combined, if I have my video game history correct.
Genesis was Sega.
Oh, no, not Sony. Yes, I meant Sega. Wasn't there a Neo something or
there
other?
Well, there was a Pokemon set, like trading card set, that was called Neo Genesis.
Oh, interesting.
That was during the Gold and Silver era.
I see. All right, well, my reference didn't work at all, but anyway, the name of the group is Neo Genesis. Their first match, a 10-person tag team match, where they came out victorious, Azumi, Mei Sierra, Miyu Amasaki, Starlight Kid, and Suzu Suzuki, the Neo Genesis team, defeating the Stars team of Hanan, Hazuki, Koguma, Momo Kogo, and Saya Iida in 15 minutes and 50 seconds. Thought this was a super fun match, really fast-paced, a good way to establish Neo Genesis, and a match with a lot of people I liked in it. So I was more than happy to see this. Ended on a Canadian Destroyer, which I can't remember the last match I watched that ended with a Canadian Destroyer as the finish.
A single tear rolled down Petey Williams' cheek.
So, yeah, good. I thought probably of the whole show, this was the second best match. Probably one of two matches on the show that I would recommend would be this one, and then one coming up, which will be very obvious when we talk about it. The next match was an 8-person tag team match. Mika, Mina Shirakawa, Saya Kamitani, and Suri defeating the Oedo Tai team of Konami, Momo Watanabe, Ruaka, and Tekla in 13 minutes and 55 seconds. Konami on the Oedo Tai team after she betrayed Suri on the Korakuen Hall show to join Oedo Tai. So a good pickup for Oedo Tai, but let's not talk about that now because we'll have plenty to say about it later. Another match I thought perfectly fine. I even wrote in my notes, this whole show has been perfectly fine matches. This is really when I was like, oh, this is just the house show that has one. If you cut off the main event of this show, it is a house show very much. But I thought it was fine, and get people on the card, get them out there. So fine with me. The semi-main was our first of two title matches. This one for the Future of Stardom title, Rina defeating Rana Yanagami in 12 minutes and 16 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts?
I liked this match quite a bit. I've been very iffy on Rina's title run so far. Just I haven't been into it. I don't like her much as a worker. But I thought she and Rana had really good chemistry and just a really good back and forth match, and I thought Rana came out of this looking good even in loss. So it's easily my favorite match of Rina's title run so far, which I was amazed to see she's at 10 defenses already. That's kind of nuts. So yeah, I went 3.5 stars on it. I overall enjoyed it.
I thought it was largely inoffensive. I was hoping Rana would win.
Yeah,
that was sort of my hope. She didn't, so whatever. Hina came out at the end, so building to a sisters match there. So fine. And then the main event for the Wonder of Stardom title, Natsupoi defeating Sayori Ano in 19 minutes and 16 seconds to become the new Wonder of Stardom champion. Kelly, I'm very interested to hear what you have to say because I believe I am out of step with the consensus on this match.
Interesting. I thought this whipped ass. They both get the gold medal in the throwing yourself on your head and neck Olympics because they were just going nuts and taking so many head drop bumps. Sayori definitely gets the wildest bump of the match with her getting thrown onto the ring apron and then just ragdolling off of it. That looked crazy. And then she took all those just like flush kicks in the head too. Like, Jesus Christ. So yeah, it was wild. They just went out there and were like, hey, what if we just murder each other for 20 minutes? And like, I could see the argument of someone being like, they did too much. And in some cases I might agree, but I thought everything looked really cool, so I was into it. I questioned the booking a bit, just to have Sayori lose the belt again already seems kind of weird, but I don't know, I assume that just had something to do with politics with Sendai. But either way, this is a great fucking match. easily match of the night. I went 4.5 stars.
Well, Kelly, we're right in sync because I also went 4.5 stars.
Wait, people don't like this match?
Well, the cage match rating is currently 7.62, which calculates to 3.75, I guess.
Insane.
And I think Scott Edwards went 3.75 on the Voices of Wrestling review, I think. Was it Scott? I don't know. Whoever did that went 3.75, but I went 4.5. I also thought it was great. I had the same note about, I wrote Sayori splatting on the apron from the top rope was great. And then it's one of those, you know, second half, we'll just demolish each other with suplexes, which I thought was great. You know, I still think Natsupoi gets very undersized reactions for the way I enjoy her matches, but I thought this was better than some of the ones she's had in the past that have happened to absolute silence. But I really enjoyed it. I guess I'm not all that bothered about the title switching. Like, if it happened all the time with every title, I might say, hey, why do you keep changing? But so many of these titles, we just talked about Rena.
Yeah.
You know, having the Future of Stardom title for 10, it's like 10 defenses. Oh, I've been the title holder for 8 months. I'm like, I don't mind. You know, I don't think they should do it continuously for 6 months to have people continuously, oh, I lose. But it's like doing it once in a while, I don't think is necessarily all that bad.
I think really my only issue with it is just Ciari losing it twice in a row, essentially.
Yeah. You know, I think that is probably the one note, but I don't really mind. It's like, oh, it's changing a lot. I'm like, okay, that makes it more interesting because then you're like, well, every title defense, it could change because it's changed a lot, as opposed to some of them when you're like, okay, this person is not losing for the next 4 months. So,
like, ideally, I think I would have had Poi beat Iwata for the title and then beat Sayori in her first defense or something.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that would have. Yeah, but as you said, maybe it was Sendai.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Politics or something. I don't, you know, who's to say. But
yeah,
great match. Really, you know, there's the Neo Genesis debut, which you can check out. But really, the one strong recommendation on the show would be the main event for me. The very next night on July 28th was Stardom Sapporo World Rendezvous from Shatara Guto Kingdom Sapporo, in front of 732 fans, so slightly more. Getting right into it, there was a pre-show four-way match. Yuna Mizumori defeated Momo Kogo, Rion, and Ruaka in 4:43. Didn't see it. Then the first match of the show proper was a high-speed title match where Mae Sierra defeated Saya Kamatani in 8:39 to become the brand new high speed champion. A good win for Mae and Neo Genesis to get a title under their belt already. I thought it was a solid match, but never really clicked with me. I think part of it is that this is a rare match where Mae is so small and Saya is so tall. I guess, quote unquote, tall, that I think she had to adjust some of her offense to like fit Mae. And I saw a couple moments where I was like, oh, this looks unnatural. It seems because she's like, oh, the thing I would usually do, I now have to do it to someone who is 1.5 feet smaller than me. So not necessarily anyone's fault, but it was just a little bit awkward. And I thought, you know, set up a good way, you know, this high speed title reign, you know, got Saya a title for a little bit, has her lose it as a sort of breaking point, which will set up what happens later. So I thought it was very solid overall.
Yeah, I like this match a lot. It was exactly the kind of match I wanted out of the Saya title run, and kind of makes me sad that she lost it, because it was fun. It was fresh. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I think Saya is much more suited to the high speed style than she is the, like, 20 minute epics. So this is the most I've enjoyed her work in quite a while. I went 3¾ on it. I was very happy with the match.
The next match was a singles match. It was the second Grand Prix qualifying tournament final match where Miyu Amasaki defeated Lady C in 11 minutes and 4 seconds to get into the five-star Grand Prix. My first note on this match is, do you think Miyu is excited for the upcoming release of Beetlejuice 2? did you see her? Did you see her at all?
She has like purple hair or something now, right?
Well, she has green
okay
hair, and she's also dyed it. I believe she's also dyed her eyebrows green.
Oh,
which gives a very strange, I don't know. There's something about it that I think it's like a light neon green.
Okay.
So from far away, it just looks like she has no eyebrows. Which is a little strange.
I hope in her promos she does the Beetlejuice voice.
You know, just try new things. That's fine, but
Miyu Amasaki Gombare.
I noticed it the previous day, and then she came out again, and with a singles match, I was really focused on it. but yeah, happy to see Miyu go through, really, of the two qualifiers. I'm like, great, two people I would like to see. You know, I think she'll get more out of being in a five-star than Lady C, who I think in some ways is sort of at her ceiling.
Yeah.
Even though she's now added, I guess that she's a cat woman or something.
She's a cat woman.
She wears cat ears to the ring.
Oh, I thought that meant she was a gamer.
But with like headphones, I don't really understand.
Yeah, no, it's because she's a gamer. She's like her streaming headphones.
Well, as we've already established, I'm don't know anything about gaming.
She's like TJ Perkins.
Sure.
Give her the Mega Man music.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all. That's all I thought about that match. The next match, a singles match, Hanako's final match before her excursion, defeating Aya Sakura in 10 minutes and 4 seconds. And I'll just read my notes for this match verbatim. Sometimes things happen in front of you and you just have no opinion on them. These things happen. I've done 110 episodes of this show. I have legitimately no thoughts on this match.
Hanako getting that momentum leading into her big debut as part of Contra Unit.
Like, these are house show matches. So I'm like, what am I supposed to think about this match? I don't know.
The newest member of Sentai Death Squad, Hanako.
It was fine. I don't know if it was fine. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. We're moving on. The next match was a gauntlet match. The God's Eye Trio, the unstoppable force that is Hina, Rana Yagami, and Saki Kashima, defeated the Empress Nexus Venus Trio of Mina Shirakawa, Waka Sugiyama, and Xena, the Neo Genesis Trio of Azumi, Starlight Kid, and Suzu Suzuki, the Oedo Tai Trio of Momo Watanabe, Rina, and Tekla, and the Stars Trio of Azuki, Koguma, and Saya Ida in 17 minutes and 23 seconds. Fine.
All right.
Question mark. I don't really enjoy these gauntlet matches. I know Stardom does them a lot. They feel sort of purposeless except for getting people on the shows. It just feels sort of like it doesn't really matter who wins. Just get people on the show so that people see them and will never. Can you name me one gauntlet match that has happened in the past year in Stardom?
Nope. Like, at the very least, they should make these so they're like, hey, the winning team gets the trio's title shot.
Sure. I mean, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, like, that makes sense, because why? What's the point otherwise? Just do a battle royal at some point, you know?
The next match was a singles match. Shuri attempting to get a measure of revenge, defeats Konami via DQ in 8 minutes and 5 seconds after Oedo Tai invaded the ring. Currently sitting at 3.43 on Cage Match.
Oof.
I actually wrote enjoyable. Like, I don't know if it was any good. And it's annoying that Oedo Tai interferes. Maybe I'll say Oedo Tai as much as I can in the review of this match, because it may be the last time we say it. Like, I liked Konami attacking Siri from the front at the start. You usually see people like run out from the back and you're like, here they come.
Yeah.
I also wrote, imagine you're in deep trouble and the person responsible for coming to your rescue is Saki Kashima. that was one of my notes. Anyway, I love Saki Kashima. I'm giving her a hard time, but I thought it was funny that, like, Shuri MMA fighter, it's like, oh, but here comes Saki. She'll be okay. It's okay. No problem.
Shooter.
I don't know. I like this little feud for Shuri. It gives her something to do when she's not involved in a title. Although I did write, I do think it's a bit of an oversold story in Stardom. Little did I know. Anyway. It was fine. I mean, it's annoying to end by DQ, but it's sort of like, I'm sure that they'll do some other match down the line that will be more something.
It'll be a lumberjack match or something. Like, I thought this was a good match that was buried under interference. And then I also have in my notes, Siri wins by getting implicated in a blackface scandal.
Oh, yeah.
At first, I thought she just like had the cold spray, and I was like, oh, and then she turns to the camera, and her face is just black, and I'm like, oh no, Konami, that is a real heel move right there.
I did have that thought when it appeared. I was like, Kelly is going to have a thought about this, and I was correct.
That's a peak heel move in implicating someone in a blackface scandal. Like, come on, that's. That's probably the most like effectively heel thing that Oedo Tai has done in a while that isn't just like, I'm going to hit you with this suitcase.
Winners by DQ, getting someone canceled.
Yep.
Winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see where that goes. The semi-main was a tag team match. The stars duo of Hanan and Mayu Iwatani defeating Natsupoi and Tom Nakano in 14 minutes and 1 second. My big thought was, feels like Hanan needs to do something to separate herself from being just sort of a faceless stars member. And I wrote, maybe this is what that thing is.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like she's still like, oh, it's Hanan who's like Mayu's assistant. Not literally, but it just feels sort of like she hasn't quite done anything since becoming like a quote unquote, like, okay, now you're not a rookie. You don't have the Future of Stardom title. Like, it feels like she needs to have something happen to her to be like, oh, okay, yes, you are part of this. Part of this roster, like officially.
Yeah, her pinning Tom was wild. I was not expecting that, but you know, this is the kind of match that's good to have leading into the tournament, where it's like, hey, anything can happen. Hanan can beat Tom.
Yeah, so we'll see, and maybe that does lead to something, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, other than that, I thought it was fun, but largely an inessential match.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Besides the result.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. It was my favorite match of the show, I think.
It was your favorite match of the show. What was my favorite match of the show? Oh, gosh. It might have been that. I guess you're right now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. anyway, and then we go on to the main event. The World of Stardom title match, Natsuka Tora defeating Mika in 19 minutes and 45 seconds to win the World of Stardom title. Kelly, I will throw to you first, but first I will say that the first note that I wrote is, in all caps, fuck me.
Micah deserves better than this. Like, it... She did what she could with the match, but she's out there wrestling and losing to fucking Bobby Hill. Like, come on. And then we just get rid of Wato Tai to replace it with a bigger, dumber version of it. What are they called now? Hate or something?
Hate.
Yeah, hate.
Hate.
And like, this match wasn't even like offensively bad, I don't think. It just wasn't good at all and shouldn't have been a main event. And like, I hope Tora drops the belt in her next match, because if not, we're in for some real dire times.
Kelly, I have a question for you that I thought of during the match before the match was even over.
Okay.
You have to show a new viewer of Stardom, someone who's never seen Stardom but comes to you and says, I'm interested in getting into Stardom. I want you to show me one match to convince me to watch Stardom. How many matches do you think you could go through before you get to a match where Natsuka Tora is prominently featured?
Okay, this is not going where I thought it was going to. I thought you were going to say the trick is they're like, hey, I saw this Natsuka Tora on Twitter and I really want to see a match with her. I mean, I would show almost anything that didn't have her.
I think you could convincingly say like one of the cage matches.
Yeah.
Which, but that's why I sort of said prom. I was thinking more of like a singles match.
But even those cage matches, I wouldn't like show to a new viewer, because so much of it depends on you having an emotional like attachment to the wrestlers in that match. So I don't think those are good, like, hey, first time ever seeing Stardom matches.
That is true. I didn't think about it from that way. But I was like, I cannot think of a match that I would be like, yeah, go and watch this.
No. Like when you were saying with Natsuka Tora, I think it would be pre-turn. It would be one of her matches against Tom when they hated each other.
The highest rated match he's in on Cage Match is the Loser Must Leave Unit Steel Cage 12-person tag team match. Put that to the side.
Yeah.
The next is a gauntlet from May of 2023, which I don't even remember. So also put that aside. Her top rated match is Jungle Kiona and Natsuka Tora versus Momo Watanabe and Utami from November of 2018.
She had that one Korakin hardcore match against Julia that I actually enjoyed.
From February.
No, this was,
isn't it, wasn't the February one?
It was, they had another one at Kurikin, but this was the one like from either 2022 or 2023 where like she was breaking the bricks on her.
Oh, wait, from 2020.
That's it. Yes.
No, this is a Cinderella tournament match.
Shit.
That can't be right. I'm looking for it.
Did I imagine this match happening?
I don't know. There's a lot of I want to filter by, can I do by singles match? I can. Singles. Submit. Okay, her top rated singles match is versus Momo Watanabe from December of 2018.
Okay, I found it. It's the January 17th, 2021 no rules match against Julia. It only has a 5.87 rating on Cage Match, so I think I might be the high person on that match.
I don't even see that on this list here. But anyway, my point is proven. I'm correct. It's just like, I don't know, and I also wrote, when you've got a hot challenger brand on your heels, the thing you should do is put the title on Natsuka Tora.
Yeah.
Also, shaved head, hat on a hat on a hat, where we keep putting the hats on. It's like, oh, she's got a shaved head now. I'm like, of course she does. And tomorrow she'll have a mohawk. hair, and then she'll have a blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I thought this fucking stunk.
They're trying so bad for her to be Dump Matsumoto or Aja Kong, and they don't get that it's not, the aesthetics are not what made them. You can't just change the look and be like, yep, she's that person now. She needs to have a level of work that can match those two, and she does not.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
But now you have a unit with Saya Kamitani, Konami, and Momo Watanabe, where Natsukatora is the representative champion.
Yeah. That unit is too big.
Which, by the way, also a great way... Okay, the end of the match. We haven't even really talked about what happened in the match, so if someone hasn't seen it, they're like, what's happening?
Micah got implicated in a Smurf face scandal.
Yes, that the referee looked directly at.
Yeah.
She goes down. She's laying there. Natsuko goes to pin her. The ref is positioned in only a place where you would say, wait a minute, your face is entirely blue. Wait a minute. You have blue mist all over your lips. What could have happened here?
Hold on. This broad that just pulled me out of the ring is sitting on the ring apron cackling.
So Saya Kamitani turns on Micah. Micah apparently loses all ability to function in any way after nearly winning the match, is stunned, and then is beaten by Natsukatora to lose the title. Not a good match. Not
Saya
a good
Kamitani,
result.
Micah's longtime friend of like 2 weeks.
Yes. And now Oedo Tai is no more the thing we've been asking for, but really it's just the same unit with a different name because now it's called Hate.
Yeah. Can we talk about just how shitty the second half of Micah's title run was? That is not her fault at all. Like,
sure.
Because the Megan Bain match in the US, that was good. It's still not like a big match, but whatever. Then you have, end of April, the 2 out of 3 falls match against Momo Watanabe, which should not have been the main event of that show. Like, Mayu and Sari probably should have been the main event, but whatever. Just, and then a random match against Xena, which, again, way over-delivered, but that's not a main event match. I haven't seen the Inaba match in JTO. It's probably good. And then you ended on this Tora match. Like, what the fuck? She had a great start to the run with the winning the title against Suzu in the vacant title match. She beat Saya in a good match. She beat Micah in a good match and Megan Bain. And then from there, it just falls off. Like, the level of opponent that she had and what they were doing with her and positioning on the card is just like, what? Why? Why are we doing this? You had a strong champion. She was having a good run, and it's just like, all right, well, I guess we're going to waste some time until we can take the belt off you and put it on Natsukatora.
Well, I guess this will either be a sink or swim, although, of course, we've said that for years about Natsukatora, and seemingly she keeps swimming.
Ideally, somewhere. Like, I think, in my head, ideally... she loses the title to Siri. Like, Siri beats Konami, vanquishes her, and then beats Tora. That's what I would do.
Well, we'll see. One good thing has come out of this, which we'll talk about in a few moments. But those were the two Stardom Sapporo Rendezvous shows. What else happened? Marigold had a Corican Hall show on July 30th. Summer Gold Shine in front of supposedly 818 fans.
Did it not seem like 818 fans?
Might not have been, based on some pictures that came out. It might have been much less than.
Were there legitimate businessmen that bought out entire rows of seats for themselves?
Maybe there could have been, or maybe everyone dressed as orange chairs. In which case,
that's Orange Chair Day.
There were 800.
Yeah, that's like how they have a whiteout at some like sports games. They're just like orange chair out.
Yep. So this show opened with a singles match, Rey Seto defeating Naoi Ishikawa in 7 minutes and 32 seconds. I wrote, "Now is such a loser to lose to Rey Seto." Very sad. Other than that, it was fine. The next match, Myla Grace and Zeta Steele defeating Komomo Minami and Misa Matsui in 8 minutes and 46 seconds for Zeta Steele's first victory.
The real deal.
In Marigold, the real deal. Zeta Steele finally getting a win. Myla Grace coming out. I know she's done it once or twice, but she really looks so different without the weird hair bulbs.
Okay.
I guess you would call that. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. This guy knows what I mean.
Yeah.
Really looks like a different person without them. My main takeaway from this match is I wrote it was really the agony and the ecstasy of wrestling, in that parts of it were fun and parts of it were absolutely terrible.
Parts of it I liked and some I did not.
Komomo did a weird DDT at one point that did not work at all. But you know, I like Zeta Steele's energy. What can I say?
Hey, it was a Komomo match that was less than 10 minutes. That's a good sign.
An accomplishment.
Yeah.
Maybe they heard us.
Yeah.
After the match, it was announced that Yuki Minami will make her debut against Komomo Minami at an upcoming show. So more rookies.
20-minute time limit draw. Here we come.
Debut. The next match was a Marigold Twin Star title tournament semifinal match, Mai Sakurai and Mirai defeating Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki in 11 minutes and 18 seconds. I like that they're establishing some heels in the promotion with Nozaki and Chiaki, although there was a chair shot partway through this match that was not exactly...
Have they learned how to use a chair yet?
Well, no, because it was not exactly well swung, I will say. Other than that, was fine. Next match was the other semifinal match in the Marigold Twin Star title tournament. Miko Aono and Natsumi Shozuki defeating Chika Goda and Koke Amore in 12 minutes and 53 seconds. I wrote shockingly enjoyable.
Hey.
I really thought it was very good. I thought that they had the right winner with Miku and Natsumi. But it does seem to me like Chika Goda and Koke are coming around to something.
Good.
Getting better. The crowd is behind Chika Goda. I think her selling could be better. There was a couple times where she got kicked square in the head with a kick and didn't like sort of sold them. Was just sort of like, oh, and you're like, oh, okay. That was odd. So selling could be a bit better, but they are improving, which is good. Doing what they need to do. I like this match. Maybe my favorite match on the show. I don't know. The next match was a Passion Injection match. I think at this point they have totally subtlety hammered the idea of passion, is my main thought. There's towels about passion. We're chanting passion. The announcers are only talking about, oh, she's going to eject a passion. She's going to passion this. I'm like, okay, I understand. Bozilla defeating Nanai Takahashi in 15 minutes and 31 seconds. At one point, an umbrella was used, a person's umbrella, and it was broken.
Oh, like, no.
They shattered the umbrella, and I thought that poor person now has just a broken umbrella.
Because you know it was going to be just a downpour when they left then.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to Dragon Gate and we had to keep finding that girl's umbrella when it kept getting knocked around?
Yes, and remember how we sat down and immediately spilled a beer and then felt terrible for the next, 2 hours? I remember that.
Yeah, they threw Paul a towel to clean it up. It was fine.
Bozilla defeating Nanai via, I believe, rear naked choke, which I really liked because I thought that it's good to, you know, she's taken her first loss to Miko in the title tournament. So I think it's good to sort of come back and be like, ah, Bozilla has added a wrinkle that now she's like good at submissions too. And now she's even scarier. I think that's a really good story of sort of taking someone's loss and being like, oh, but wait, they went back and they got better because they realized someone could beat them. And now they're even more unstoppable.
Is this the first passion injection match that Nanaya lost?
Didn't she lose one other one?
I don't remember.
I feel like there's one other one she lost because we were like, she's never lost. Hold on. I think it happened recently, didn't it? I'll find it. Come on. Mm. Nanai Takahashi. Oh, lost to Utami. That's who it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I remembered. I was like, it was recently. Why can't I remember this? It was Utami. That's
yeah. Right. Okay.
So her second loss. The semi main event of this show, a tag team match, Julia and Sari defeating Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki in 18 minutes and 7 seconds.
Too long.
I
didn't watch the match. I can tell you it's too long.
We are reaching critical mass on Rossi's idea that every person on this entire roster has to have the exact same abilities so that no one looks weak.
Yeah,
Julia and Sari are your superstars of this.
They should
roster.
Have just. It should have been a slaughter.
It should have been like maybe 8 minutes long.
Yeah,
there were moments when you could reasonably, thinking in kayfabe, think, "Oh, Julia could lose to Kazuna Tanaka."
Like yesterday, I saw someone posted a video on Twitter of Tenryu fighting Taichi when he was a young boy. It should have been that. It should have been just punching and kicking and beating the shit out of these two. Tenryu picks up a table and throws it at Taichi's head in that match. It fucking rules. It should have been that. Like, there should have been some fiery moments where the two like young people came at him, but like, there's no way this should have gone this long.
It would also work if every single rookie match you ever did didn't go into, you know, 10 plus minutes.
Yeah.
If most of the other ones were like 6 minutes and then this one goes 18, you're like, whoa, what are they doing? But you're just thinking, oh, this is what they do with every match.
Sari should have beat these two in 5 minutes on her own.
The only saving grace was Julia going through the entire match with an absolute look of disdain for both of them, looking like, I cannot believe I'm wasting my time doing this.
They wouldn't make me do this in the PC.
Very funny, but it was so long. It was so long. And come on, be serious here, please. Anyway, the main event was the finals of the Marigold Twin Star title tournament. Mai Sakurai and Mirai defeating Miko Aono and Natsumi Shozuki in 20 minutes and 52 seconds to win the titles. Another solid match. Not crazed about Mai Sakurai as tag champion, but I totally get putting Mirai here. Makes them look good defeating two singles champions here. And I don't think you would want to have your two of your singles champions be your tag champions this early.
Yeah.
So totally makes sense to me. But it's just that thing where it's like, okay, two of you are singles champions. You can't win the title. There's not, you know, we're not going to put the tag titles on our, you know, Utami, yeah. Julia, Siri, Bozilla, whatever. You don't have that many other people to put these titles on.
No.
Realistically, who you can say, okay, they'll go out and at least be fine for the moment. It's still a very thin roster. I mean, we talked about it. It's a roster of largely rookies with like four or five experienced wrestlers, some much more experienced than others.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, I would say a very skippable show. Obviously has a big match with the, you know, first tag champions being crowned. And I think, frankly, you could just watch both of Aono's and Shozuki's matches. If you really want, if you're like, I need to watch something from the show, I would say only watch those two matches and move on with your life. What else has been happening? Tokyo Joshi had their first 2 days of the Tokyo Princess Cup on July 28th and August 3rd. The results are as follows. For the 28th, Yuki Aono defeating Runa Okuba, Suzume defeating Shino Suzuki, Yuki Arai defeating Kaya Toribami, Mizuki defeating Moka Miyamoto, and Miyu Watanabe defeating Arisa Endo. On the second day, Rika Tatsumi defeated Toga, Yuki Kamifuku defeated Palm Harajuku, Ryo Mizunami defeated Haru Kazushiro, Yuki Arai defeated Wakina Uehara, Zara Zocker defeating the champion Miyu Watanabe, and Yuki Aono defeating Shoko Nakajima. Kelly, your thoughts on these first 2 days of the Tokyo Princess Cup?
Okay, the first day, we need to talk about the man in the Michael Jordan Washington Wizards jersey in the front row that kept falling asleep.
Oh, I did notice. Yeah, I did notice him.
I could not take my eyes off him. Like, there was points in the, where I was just not watching the match. I was just watching his head bob down slowly and go further. He wake up and start to doze off again. And then everyone start to clap and he'd wake up and start clapping too.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt at the beginning. And I thought, oh, he must be looking at his phone. But he clearly was not.
Yeah, he was clearly sleeping. Like, just, I love the idea of this older Japanese man in a Michael Jordan jersey buying front row tickets to a wrestling show and falling asleep several times. But he did wake up a couple, like, he woke up for the spot where Moka punched Mizuki out of midair. That was cool. I'm glad he got to see that. I liked that match. I went 3.5 on that, and I went 4 on Miyu beating Endo. I thought that was really good. They both have such a great, like, snap to their work, to where it just stood out on what was a very sleepy show, even without the man falling asleep. Great pace on that one. The speed that Miyu got on the spin on Endo was nuts. So yeah, I enjoyed that match a lot. Like I said, I went 4. And then the second day, overall, good show. I was shocked to see Zara Zocker beat Miyu, but I guess that's a Korakuen main event down the road settled. And I thought the main event of Aino beating Nakajima was really good, too. And another big upset that, hey, tournament season, anything can happen. I went 4 stars on that one, too.
Yeah, I thought Zara beating Miyu made total sense. It's someone in the tournament. They can now have a title match, which they'll lose, and it gets Miyu out of the tournament, so you don't have to have them lose to some person down the line who then you're like, wait, they deserve a title match. Now you can be like, oh, she can get a title match and she'll lose and it'll be fine.
The weird thing is, I, for whatever reason, thought I got spoiled on the opening night and saw that Endo beat Miyu. Like, I don't know what I actually read when I was scrolling past stuff. So I was not expecting, this was not the match I thought Miyu was losing.
Yeah, I also enjoy, you know, Suzume defeating Shino Suzuki. I like that it took a little, you know, 7 minutes and 9 seconds after Aino defeated Runa in under 5 minutes. I like that Suzume and Endo are really good tag champions, but they are still sort of underpowered as singles wrestlers. Mm-hmm. I sort of like that story a bit, to be like, hey, they're good. They're really good as tag. They're not quite there as singles. I think that's fun. You know, taking a couple extra minutes for Suzume to beat Shino, I thought was good. And yeah, I think, again, these are very easy. I know both of us skipped the sort of non-tournament matches, but both of these are easy. I think even if you skip sort of the entrance and exits, you can get through both of these shows in under 2 hours, maybe, I think.
Yeah.
So very fast. But the usual sort of Tokyo Princess Cup opening days, nothing too crazy, but we will get there as we get closer to the finals.
Oh, you know what was the most impressive spot of the whole two shows to me? When it was in the Camille versus Palm match, where Camille got up Palm for a vertical suplex, Palm blocks it, and on the way back down, kicks her in the shin. Like, a legitimately brilliant and impressive spot that she pulled it off.
So what else has been happening in the world of Joshi? As we mentioned, Stardom had that Korakuen on the 23rd, where Tekla and Momo Watanabe won the tag titles. After the Konami Shuri stuff, Oz had a show on July 28th where Masked Hanahana defeated Kairi Yoniyama and Kohaku to retain the Pioneer title. Tokyo Joshi had Now Kakuta's graduation show. Kelly, you want to talk about the main, the graduation main event?
Yeah. Mizuki beating Now Kakuta in her retirement match. It's one of those matches where I thought it was great. I don't exactly know what I would rate it because I don't know if it was technically a great match. But like the first half was very light and fun with Now kind of fighting the entire roster as they all do like the splash in the corner on her. And then once they got into the meat of the match, it got really emotional. And like there's a bit where I'm not sure if Now was just selling or if her body was like really kind of beginning to fail her. With the injury she had recently, but she was just having a lot of trouble to get back in the ring and just kept on fighting. And like, she wasn't going to give Mizuki this easy win. So she fought to the very end and Mizuki hits the cutie special. And the second Now hits the mat, you know, like you can see on her face, it's over. Like it's just written on her face. Like this is all she has. And she loses the match. And I would be lying if it didn't bring a tear to my eye because it was a very emotional moment. So if you haven't seen it and you're a fan of Now Kakuta, I definitely recommend watching it.
What else happened in Ice Ribbon on July 27th? Kairi Yoniyama defeated Yuki Mashiro and Matsuzawa-san to win the Triangle Ribbon. I believe she's going to bring it to Gato Move, I believe, is the next step for that. Wave had a show, their usual first of the month show on August 1st. Risa, Sarah, and Saki retaining the tag titles against Cherry and Kairi Yoniyama. Yuki Miyazaki retained the Regina De Wave against Honoka. In news from the past 2 weeks, Mako Satomura having an official press conference to announce she will be doing a retirement tour through Japan ahead of her retirement next April. Emi Sakura appeared to challenge her to a match which appeared to be not planned, or at least
hell yeah.
That's what Mako said after she sat down. She was like, just to let you know, that was not planned and I don't know what's going on.
Love it. So, love Emi going into business for herself.
So yes.
If that match in the chocolate square.
That is what has been happening. Before we go to the upcoming, of course, we have to update our Joshi League fantasy standings. And Kelly, I have to say, you had a very good week.
Yeah.
All the way up to 279 points, helped by the fact that Saki got you 18 points this week.
I told you, I'm going to moneyball my way to the top with Saki.
The best of the new pickups. And Kelly, you are now at 279 points, which is within 100 points of Liam.
Fantastic. Eat shit, Liam.
For the first time, Liam at 370 points. but still leading. The first person to cross 400 points, that would be yours truly, me, at 402 points, being helped out by, I think every one of my wrestlers won a singles match this week, I think, if I remember my calculations correct. But now a 32-point lead on Liam, so we will see what happens moving forward. What is coming up? Well, it's the beginning of Stardom's five-star Grand Prix. Let's run through the official blocks now that they are determined. The Red Stars A block will be Natsupoi, Micah, Hazuki, Ruaka. Ruaka will be in the five-star Grand Prix. This spot was originally meant for Natsuka Tora, who decided to drop out after winning the red belt and for some reason has the power to nominate someone else, so nominated Ruaka as her replacement.
You know what? I'm fine with that. I'd much rather watch Ruaka than Natsuka Tora. So cool.
Konami and Manami and Yuna Mizumori in the Red Stars A block. Red Stars B block, Mayu Iwatani, Tom Nakano, Momo Watanabe, Azumi, Mei Sierra, Saya Iida, Tomoko Inaba make up that block. I think that may be the strongest block, in my opinion. Should be a lot of good matches. The Blue Stars A block, Saria No, Suri, Starlight Kid, Xena, Koguma, Anna J from AEW, Miyu Amasaki make up the Blue Stars A block.
And I think that's my favorite block.
You excited to see the fat ass and bad attitude dominate?
Yeah,
the block.
I think Siri and Ciari are going to drag some good matches out of her.
It is an interesting, interestingly created block. I'll say that. And then the Blue Stars B block, Suzu Suzuki, Saya Kamatani, Hanan, Rana Yagami, Saki Kashima, Tekla, and Risa Sarah make up that block. So those are the four blocks. The five-star Grand Prix begins on August 10th at Yokohama Budokan. This will be a show that will feature all the blocks. Won't be the case moving forward. But the matches on this show will be Micah versus Natsupoi, Hazuki versus Manami, Konami versus Ruaka, Mayu Iwatani versus Tom Nakano, Azumi versus Momo Watanabe, Mei Sierra versus Tomoka Inaba, Sayori Ano versus Anna Jay, Suri versus Starlight Kid, Xena versus Miyu Amasaki, Suzu Suzuki versus Hanan, Saya Kamatani versus Rana Yagami, and Saki Kashima versus Risa Sarah. Kelly, your most anticipated match for the opening night of the five-star Grand Prix.
That's so many matches. let's see. Probably Siri versus Starlight Kid.
All right, I'll go Mei Sierra versus Tomoka Inaba.
Yeah, that's probably going to be really good too.
That would be my pick. I mean, last year's opening night, I think, was my Stardom show of the year, if I remember correctly. It had at least two or three matches I loved. So hopefully this will duplicate that.
Suzu versus Hanan could be really good too, I think.
August 11th, it is a Red Stars day, so it will be in Red Stars A, Micah versus Yuna Mizumori, Hazuki versus Ruaka, Konami versus Manami, and in the Red Stars B block, Mayu Iwatani versus Saida, Tomoka Inaba versus Momo Watanabe, and Azumi versus Mei Sierra. My most anticipated match, probably Azumi versus Mei Sierra. Kelly, what is yours?
Mine is Micah versus Yuna Mizumori.
I also think Mayu versus Saida will be...
yeah, that'll be good. Too.
Then on August 12th, there are two shows on that day. The first in the daytime will be a Blue Stars show. Suri versus Saria No, Starlight Kid versus Anna J, Xena versus Koguma, Suzu Suzuki versus Saki Kashima, Saya Kamatani versus Tekla, and Hanan versus Risa Sarah. Kelly, your most anticipated match.
Well, it's got to be Siri versus Sari and L. Like, that's going to fucking rule. I can't imagine what a bunch of big bullshit that Saya versus Tekla is going to end up being.
And we'll see. Maybe by then we'll know, and Starlight Kid and Anna Jay will be great.
That could be good, yeah.
We'll see.
Hanan versus Risa Sarah could be really good.
I think by that moment in time after, well, I guess it will have only been, I guess she'll only have had one match, but
yeah.
I was going to say maybe by then we'll either be excited or not excited for that match. Then at night on the 12th, it is a Red Stars block, Konami versus Hazuki, Manami versus Ruwaka, Natsupoi versus Yuna Mizumori, Tom Nakano versus Saida, Maesier versus Momo Watanabe, and Azumi versus Tomoka Inaba. Gosh, what is mine? A lot of good choices here. I'll go with Maesier versus Momo Watanabe. I think that could be interesting.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going Azumi versus Inaba.
Then on the 15th, we have another show, chock full. That one coming from Cork and Hall, both a Red Stars and Blue Stars day. Micah versus Konami, Natsupoi versus Ruwaka, Manami versus Yuna Mizumori, Mayu Iwatani versus Momo Watanabe, Tom Nakano versus Azumi, Saida versus Tomoka Inaba, and then in the Blue Stars, Sayori Ano versus Starlight Kid, Suri versus Anna Jay, Koguma versus Miyu Amasaki, Suzu Suzuki versus Risa Sarah, Hanan versus Saki Kashima, and Rani Yagami versus Tekla. Kelly, lots to choose from there. What do you say?
Suzu versus Risa Sarah. Let them use tubes. Let them in the main event and let them use tubes.
I don't think that's happening.
Let them use tubes.
I'll go Suri Anna Jay just because I think it'll be interesting.
Red means green, Stardom.
Then on the 17th, they are in Kyoto, a Blue Stars day. Sayori Ano versus Miyu Amasaki, Starlight Kid versus Koguma, Xena versus Anna Jay, Saya Kamatani versus Risa Sarah, Hanan versus Tekla, and Rana Yagami versus Saki Kashima. Where am I going here? I'll go Starlight Kid versus Koguma. That's what I'll do.
That'll probably be really fun. I think this is kind of a rough one. Saya versus Risa Sarah, let them use tubes. Let heel Saya become a deathmatch wrestler. I want to see all these idol fans just horrified at deathmatch spots.
And then the last show of the next upcoming 2 weeks is a Red Star show on August 18th in Kobe. Micah versus Ruwaka, Hazuki versus Yuna Mizumori, Natsupoi versus Konami, Mayu Iwatani versus Azumi, Tom Nakano versus Momo Watanabe, and Saida versus Mei Sierra. Kelly?
All right, hear me out. Mayu Iwatani versus Azumi. Let them use tubes.
All right, well, I'll go Saida versus Mei Sierra.
Yeah, that one actually I think will probably be the most fun match of the show.
And then next time we will preview the upcoming shows, but the whole tournament will be done by the 31st of August. So
that's cool.
Flying
like
through
that.
This tournament just in time for the Marigold.
Don't like that.
Tournament to be
no.
So that is what will be happening in Stardom. We'll have plenty to cover there. Oz has a Cork and Hall show. The top two, Ryu Mizunami and Sona Kokado, will defend the tag titles against Hiroyo Matsumoto and Zones. And then the main event will be Mayumi Ozaki versus Mai Yukihi for the Oz title. If Mai Yukihi loses, she will leave Osaki-gun. So the stakes are higher there. Also on that show will be Arisa Nakajima's last appearance in Oz Academy as she closes in on her retirement show. Tokyo Joshi on the 10th of August will have the next round of the Princess Cup. Suzume versus Yuki Arai, Mizuki versus Zara Zocker, Yuki Kamifuku versus Yuki Aono, Rika Tatsumi versus Ryo Mizunami, Also, Masha Slamovich will be appearing on that show. Kelly, any match there you're particularly looking forward to?
So I think Camille versus Aino stands out purely because I think Aino is getting the Camille push that she got last year.
Very possible. Do you think Zara Zocker continues her miracle run and defeats Mizuki?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't have, at this point, like, with this group of people, I don't really have, like, a favorite of, like, well, obviously, this person's winning. It feels very wide open this year. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Mizunami wins, honestly.
That would be great for me. Would be a lot of fantasy points.
No, make her lose now. Okay. Rika Tatsumi, choker.
Also on the 18th of August, the Shoko Nakajima anniversary show, which will be main evented by Miyu Watanabe and Suzume facing off against Miyu Mashita and Shoko Nakajima.
That's an interesting match.
So that should be good. And Sendai Girls has a show on August 18th, which will feature Takumi Aroha versus Mika Iwata, which should be a good match. But the next 2 weeks really dominated by the five-star Grand Prix. We will be back in 2 weeks to cover all of that action. And we'll be already, by the next time, we'll be halfway through the tournament. So crazy to think of. But that is all for our episode. So I throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's corner.
I had some time to go see the Deadpool Wolverine, and it was very fun. If you watch the trailer and you're like, hey, I think that looks like a good time, that's the movie you get. Like, I've seen people shitting on it, and I'm like, okay, it is exactly what was sold to you. So if you watch the trailers and thought that looks like shit, you did it to yourself. It's not a great movie, but I had a whole hell of a lot of fun with it.
Well, there you go. There's Kelly's recommendation for these 2 weeks. And we will be back with you in 2 weeks for more Jumping Bomb audio. Until then, farewell.
Bye, everybody. Don't celebrate diverticulitis summer. It's a bad time.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.